Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in. We're in the huddle with me, Bram, and with me, per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxine.
How's it going?
Excited, fired up, more fired up than I can even tell you, to announce that rejoining us after far too long, a remarkably supportive and strong father who's described his son as a hero more than once, an important member of the Warriors family who has embraced the team and whose intelligence and relentless support on social media is already been deeply appreciated by Dub Nation, and the man who helped shape Brandon Pajemski, a player who will play an enormous role in shaping the future of the Golden State Warriors, Mr. John Pajemski. What's going on, John?
Hi, everybody. It's good to be back. Another year we're going to start, and looking forward to it. Us, the whole family, everybody.
This time is always so weird for me. Like right now, so we're recording this, what, right before we get into September?
Yes.
I'm just close enough where I can smell training camp, you know, but like,
yes,
we're also not right there. And there's this weird withdrawal. You know, the Olympic basketball was so great. There was things to talk about and think about. And, you know, it's like we're at the starter's block, and you know, waiting for the shot to be fired is always a it's always a tough thing for me. And so to bleed this into a compliment, to be able to fit you into this time, you know, and get some real information here means the world. And I, you know, I tell you what, let's use this as an excuse. We'll get logistics out of the way. One, okay, awkward admission. All right. So I really enjoyed our first conversation. Not alone. We got a ton of compliments after that. And so the bar is set high today, John. Like, I'm nervous. Like, who knows, man? You know, it'd be easier.
Are you saying, so it's also like my second season, like my son's?
There you go. That's exactly right. You made the all-rookie team. You know, there's some big things coming here. And then the other is, I want to complete some compliments. Okay. So the last time that we spoke was in January of 2024. And so at that point, we had seen Brandon play. We're a few months in, and he'd been nothing but successful. But because there was still a lot of basketball to be played after that, the compliments we gave were all kind of open-ended. You know, things like, what a great start, or like, I can't wait to see where it's gone. Well, John, we see where it went. The year went phenomenally well. And so as a father who credits himself with helping shape the personality traits of his daughter, and as someone who's been rooting for Brandon and believes that his toughness and basketball IQ and a lot of the personality traits are what led to that success, thank you, John. I credit you with where it went. And so it's worth saying, you know, we're just getting this stuff out of the way now so that I'm not kissing your ass the entire episode.
No, absolutely. I thank you again, you know, both of you for asking me back on. So I guess I did something right. But as I always say, I can't take all the credit. You know, it still takes a village to raise a young man, even today. And we have a good small circle around him. And a lot of us in that circle, we knew he would finish up the way he did. I feel sorry is just as much because I was as disappointed as he was about the plan. You know, it's you knew that, and he's mentioned it, and our family's even known it, that you give Steph Curry a games, you know, seven game series, you're not going to lose to him four times, you know.
Has that been discussed, man? So, like, you know, during this offseason, has that come up amongst family conversations?
Trust me, it has come up a lot, because he just felt like there was nothing to do. Like, we come from a whirlwind, you know, think of this. You're in college. The second he's done with the season of college, they're in the NCAA, the NIA tournament. You know, they didn't get to the NCAA tournament, so they had the other one. They get into that tournament. Then they're out of it. Then it's immediately start training to get ready for, you know, the combine. So he was back here. We ended up dealing where we had a place for him, and then had his trainers here, and they worked all through everything. Then it's the combine. Then after the combine, then it's the showcase by your agency. And then it's start going to all of the teams that want to see you. And it ended up, I believe, 18 of the teams that wanted to see him. So then you're flying out every other day, and he's doing that. And then, believe it up, all the way until he was at Atlanta 2 days before the draft. And then they tell us the green room, pack up, get out there. And I mean, and then it's find him a place, you know, get picked by Golden State, which was a blessing. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better organization. And I'm sure Dub Nation's seen it as well as you guys, that he is a good fit for this team. Like, he gels perfect with them. I mean, it was a team he liked. He wanted to see himself go there. I mean, if he couldn't, he always said he wanted to play against Steph. But now he gets to do that sometimes in practice. But I think everybody has seen their pregame ritual. I think they're mostly playing with each other than anytime against each other, seeing who can make that three from the corner.
Has he seen, and so, like, it's very easy, let me start that over. The idea that the Golden State Warriors are a top-notch organization has become, you know, commonplace. We talk about it all the time. I know it wasn't true for a while under Cohen, but under Lacob it is. But, John, when I say that, it's from the outside looking in. Okay. You know, I mean, and I've got a little experience having watched the previous organization be terrible, but I'm still, you know, I'm making inferences. I don't have any direct experience. Okay. You guys do now. Yeah. You know, your son plays for the team. So has there been examples, and that now that you're a year in, do the Golden State Warriors operate like an elite franchise? I mean, do they seem to be above the crowd?
They are. They are definitely, and just hearing feedback from other guys that are playing in other organizations, whether it be their G League or playing up in the actual NBA, have said, and, you know, and even take it a step further, you know, like, even Chris Paul, when he was with us, made comments too on, you know, he's played with a lot of different teams, and he has, you know, said it. And yeah, we agree. I think the biggest thing that stands out is they always just say it's for the heat of culture.
Yeah.
There's a culture here that feeds and breeds. We want to win. And I mean, you're talking all the way from the people that, you know, clean the clothes, the cooks that are there, to the owner himself. He tells you straight out, like, he wants to win. And my son thrives with that. I mean, coming from a military, you know, school, I mean, that's what it is. When you're teaching military, you're not teaching somebody to lose.
John, you know? John, so, if memory serves, the last time you and I spoke, you told me about a family tradition where you guys play miniature golf against one another, and then afterwards, only the winner is allowed to smile. You know,
right,
and
here, like, buddy, right?
Oh, let's go! I was about to ask you who won. Congratulations!
Thank you. Yep, Father's Day, I took him, and then he came back, and we said let's get a game before he had to go back and do some stuff. Believe it or not, before Team USA, and we played again, and I won again. So, but he has been playing against other people when he's been out there. And when he's come back, he's played against some other people and he's won, but he hasn't played me again. So I'm 2-0 right now.
So John, let's put this contextually in what we're talking about, right? Like his competitive drive. Yeah. We are what I would call deep in the trophy generation. I mean, mostly like it's a different thing. Everybody gets trophies across the board. Right. For Hugh, I love that in your family's culture, like, no, there's not participation trophies. Not only are we focused on winning, but if you don't win, you cannot fucking smile. I do not want to see you smile in that picture. And then the other thing I loved is you worked in the word again. I won again. Just to let us know, you know what I mean?
That's
not the
right.
first time. Not a big deal, which I love. Okay, perfect set off point. So I've got questions for you. I'm excited for all of them. And they break into three major categories. I got dad questions for you. I got Brandon questions, and I've got Warriors questions. Let's start it with the dad stuff. Yeah. So I mentioned it. Pod's had a very successful year. Not only establishes himself in the rotation, his play and IQ establishes him as a starter above a Splash Brother, and he sets the rookie record and leads the league in charges drawn. So gets a ton of praise, and justifiably so. As a dad who cheers wildly when his 8-year-old scores a meaningless goal in youth soccer, what's it like, man, as a father watching this ascension, you know? And then like there's the start, he gets into that starting lineup and then off he goes. What's that experience like?
Well, to us, I mean, it's so hard because I know as everybody in Dub Nation is learning about Brandon still, many are now get it that the difference between confidence and arrogance, you know, he tries to tell you, you know, what he's going to do because that's what he's supposed to do, you know, and in whether it's military or whether it's in a game, you can't be that, I might, you know. And so to see, I expect that of him. And a lot of people say, well, are you in awe? No, I'm his harshest critic. You know, I do with the games. We can't go to everything because we still work. I mean, that's his job, not our job. It's to be the parent that's there. And so what we end up doing is I watch a lot of the videos. I watch, you know, live everything that happens. And afterwards, I usually text him. It starts out and he knows the hammer is going to happen like sooner or later. It's like, hey, did real great right here, there. And then he's like, okay, here it comes. You know, dude, how could you miss that free throw? Come on, dude. You know, do I have to get over there and show you on it? I got to talk crap to you, you know, but, I'm more taken back by the fans, really, and the organization. And this isn't a suck up. I mean, when I watch the thing, I point to people when I see a lot of the videos come out, especially like on YouTube of the highlights. I don't watch my son ever. All I'm watching is the bench, his teammates, his coaches, the audience. And I think I had mentioned that even in the last one, because it just brings me so much joy because it's like, okay. And then when he misses it, I'm like, come on, what's with you, man? You know, that's the automatic, you know? And, but to me, that's like the biggest thing. I mean, I'm proud of him. Like you had mentioned in your intro, he is my hero. You know, he was the one who came to me, you know, and said, hey, this is what I want to do, you know? And when I basically took the restraints off of basically, all right, we're not going to do a baseball. We're going to do this basketball thing, you know? I was like, he just took off and flew at it. And he got to play with a passion what he loves, not what his dad loves.
I remember you telling us about that switch from – here's what I remember about the switch. I remember you growing up as a very successful baseball player. I remember because you were good in baseball – helping Brandon along and what was going to be a very successful baseball career, and then him changing fields, you know, him telling you he wants to go basketball. And the thing that sticks out the most was you saying, okay, you know, then out of the frying pan into the fire, that you guys didn't baby step into basketball. It was like, this is what you want to do. We're going all the way out. And he took it, you know, he was okay with going through that fire.
Right. And I think it was, you know, you could see the passion that he had in it, just like he had in baseball. Like, he was out there always out there. I mean, when they say a gym rat, you know, it's becoming a little cliche, I would say, you know, like, oh, he's a gym rat. But then you see the dude hanging with his buddies going out. He will be in the gym. Like, it's funny. I don't know if I told this story or anything, but when they are looking at you as a rookie to come in, or I shouldn't say, let's back it up a little bit, as a draft pick, they do so much vetting in the background of stuff to check. Like, you know, they want to know, because you're investing. I mean, Mr. Lakem put a lot of money into Brandon, you know, and we are appreciative of what he gets paid by what the CBA has for him and everything. Sure. But the thing is they want to make sure there's no hidden surprises. So literally they had even asked the janitor of his middle school, is he really getting in here and staying in here? And those are like the two people that Brandon will always be affiliated, no matter where it is, to learn right away is security and the janitor. So he can get up shots, so he can always be in the gym and everything. And they had asked. And I mean, again, just a little tidbit about it. And that's what he loves. And I get it. Like I said, it becomes a cliche. And so even like I remember when he was at Santa Clara, and one of the coaches there had said, you know, I thought that the kids left the gym light on, and I was driving by and I went in, you know, getting ready to turn it off. I'm all with an attitude. And then all of a sudden I see, here's your son still in there practicing. And I had to call you because you were right. Because I said, if he had it his way, he would just leave a cot in the gym and just stay there. You, as long as you had the TV so he can look at video footage of stuff, or if he can just practice, that's what he wanted to do. And he said, I'm calling you to let you know you're so right. And I'm just like, I you know, you say, like, it's almost like you feel sometimes the stuff you say, you're in a glass box and mm-hmm. you're banging and nobody's hearing you. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, well, I told you. And he goes, no, you don't understand. He goes, do you know how many parents we have that every time someone comes to college, you go, oh, he's a gym rat. He's a gym rat. And all of a sudden it's 2 days in and you're seeing TikTok videos. He's dancing at some party or he's hanging out with the girls or he's out doing having pizza instead of this. And he's not here for gym early. And they all get to see that he is who I say he is, you know.
Scattershot follow-ups. Number one, I think you should force Brandon to change your name and his phone to Golf Champion. I mean, just, you know, up to you. We'll see if that goes anywhere.
You know, I might even just do that when he calls and I see.
I mean, maybe it's part of the title, you know, like when you beat him, you know, for that year, that's what it's got to be called. I mean,
I like that. I think that's how you should answer the phone. So when he calls me, I just go, yeah, Golf Champion.
Golf Champion. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, Golf Champion. So there's my first idea. The second one, what a concrete example. So earlier we were talking about, you know, Warriors culture. What does that mean? The idea that just that next level of thinking, it's an easy thing, but only easy when you say it out loud, that calling the janitor, I mean. You know, the like thinking out, okay, we'd like someone who's in the gym real late. Now we can ask the coach, but that doesn't, you know, the coach is going to tell us anything. The idea of who's someone we can ask who doesn't have a dog in the fight, but who would know, and what a, you know, what an incredible idea. They were right to go that way. Okay. Next dad question. And so I'm going to throw this to Maxime first, but it's coming your way, John. All right. Maxime, so I wasn't even sure if I was going to throw this out because it seemed ridiculous, but John just mentioned it. So yes, despite unassailable success, like every player and every fan base, Podziemski has had criticism, and it's gotten to a weird place where it's talking about his personality. You know, the confidence thing that you talked about, which is a very, I don't know, feels out of bounds thing. It's an interesting critique. And so if your son, John, Maxime has a son, he's less than 1 year old, but you know, he's a boy dad. If your son was getting taken or shots were being taken at him in a public setting by strangers, could you take, like, how would that hit you? You know, could you rise above it? 'Cause you know, it's part of the job. Would you be furious at every time you read it? Like what happens for you if you're in that scenario?
It would be, I don't think I could get out of bed. I mean, I would have to, because I would simultaneously need to be supporting my son, I guess. Right. So it's these like mixed emotions of knowing I need to show up, knowing, especially now as I'm in the beginning stages of raising him, wanting to show up to show him what it means to stand up for these things. But for me personally, I would be so torn. I would be getting out of bed, but really wanting to just stay underneath the covers. So.
John, I would be the perfect example of do as I say, not as I do. I'd be calling my son to be like, who cares? Like what they say means nothing. You keep doing it. And then I would be like personally contacting each one of those people. Be like, fuck you. You don't know anything about this. I don't need your stupid ass opinion. Okay. So there's our appetizer. John, how'd you handle it? You're right. The criticism happens. What's its impact on you?
Okay. For one, where you got to start is, you know, I'm a man of faith. And so God does play a big part. You will see even sometimes Brandon quoting it in there. On some of his interviews, you know, how truly blessed he is, which he knows, you know, we talk about that all the time. The other thing is like when God gives you a gift, it's to go forward, not look back, you know, type thing. And so you really, like, all I could say is like, when it comes to the critics of what they're going to say, I hope that like stuff like this interviews wise will help it, you know, that he's just very confident. And what I don't understand on the backlash, I pose it as a question the other way. Wouldn't you want somebody like that on your team? Wouldn't you want, like, hey, I'm glad I got him on the Golden State Warriors. He's not out there on the streets flashing diamonds and rolling in a, you know, a car, acting like he's the man and being out in the club with a velvet rope and you can come in and kiss his hand or something. I'm talking about he's going to give you his all on the court, but you just don't like that. And when he's confident that, hey, I want to be in there, you know, I think some of the misconception that's coming out right now too, like you're talking about, is he's going to be starting. He never said he was going to be starting. Well, you can assume because he'll be with Steph, and he said he's got to take off some of the workload for Steph. If anybody's been watching the games, when he came off the bench, he didn't come in for Steph. He came in for Chris Paul. And they worked side by side. So he's not guaranteed anything that he's going to be the starter. And he's never mentioned that he was going to be the starter. He has to earn, which he knows. But everybody just presumes that because, you know, he's talking about that he wants to challenge himself to take on the best, you know, person on defense so he can free Steph up more. That's what he was doing off the bench already. So I'm confused why people jump to so many assumptions. Yep. But I will say this to all the people that are negative, if you hear me now, if there's something you don't like about them, or you don't feel, you know, a certain way about them, or you've said bad things about them, join them. Just join us. We don't hold no grudge against anybody. I mean, he's your player on your team, but yet you don't want it. It baffles me. But does it make me like cringe or mad? No, it's more confusion. Like, wouldn't, like I said, the question is, wouldn't you want that for your team? Wouldn't you want a fighter, the guy who's going to scrap on the ground, the guy who, and Portland, when we played Portland and they could have came back, you saw how tired everybody was, that if we would have went into overtime there, if he doesn't take that charge, you know, and puts his body up on there, and he's not putting it up against just Joe Blows. I mean, you know, he's done Embiid, you know, James Harden, the Joker. You know, I mean, these are just to name a few of them, but that's how much, when I told people, and I know we're bouncing a little bit back and forth, is I told everybody this when we sat on that couch the day he got drafted, that he would run through a wall for this organization and will do anything by any means to win. He's the team player. He's about this is the goals he wants to accomplish. But all one and one, he'd give anything up. He'd give that first team all rookie up if they could have just got a 7-game series.
You get that sense. And I, the confidence critiques, the way I would respond to those is, imagine he gave the opposite answer. They asked, you know, how are you feeling about your success? And he was lacking confidence. He said, you know what? I'm not sure if I'm good enough to do this. The kind of backlash, the anger that he would get from the fan base for that, you know, it would be an unforgivable sin. And so that he's on the other end of that spectrum, we should celebrate, you know, that he does believe in himself, that there isn't any kind of even self-critique, that he knows that he can do this, that it feels like an asset. And it's a very weird thing that shots are being taken.
Right. And just one little thing to add to that caveat, if even the organization, but most importantly, the other 14 or 13 guys you have on the roster with you, if they thought he wasn't right, don't you think they wouldn't have good things to say about him?
Yeah,
sure. You know, they know he'll go to war and he's got their back. But it seems like lately there's always something they want to pit. And that's the most confusing part. I mean, he's there to help. It's like, oh, now he took Clay's job. No, Clay played all the minutes. My son has always stated the same thing from day one. Hey, I would just like to be in when it's down to crunch time. It doesn't matter if I start or not. It's not a demotion. It's not. And Clay understood that which I'm glad. I really am glad that when he didn't take it bad, and then when he got it back, because that's when Brandon, I mean, he was running out of gas. He needed some time off. Let's move him back. And Clay came in like a champ and did it again, you know, and stuff. So that to me is the biggest thing, that it's always now they want to come, you know, it's like the young guys, we've got so much talent and they don't realize, like, I asked somebody, I think a couple weeks back, I said, just with our young guys, JK, Moses, and Trace, and Brandon together, just them four, when they've been on the court together, were they a plus or a minus?
And I'm sure. Heavy
somebody
plus.
Said it was a plus 25. And I said, well, do you know how many like minutes they were together? It was considered one full game. One out of an 82 season. So imagine these four young guys, you know, the spotlight is now JK and Brandon. Are they going to, you know, are they going to hold up? But yet you're not saying like Moses is there and, you know, Trace is there and they're all good guys. And then it's like, well, now you want to say, well, who's more valuable, JK or Brandon? They're all, and you've got them, but yet you want to rip these people apart and they're on your team. Do you know how many people would love to have JK, Brandon, Moses, Trace, you know, but yet they're going, oh, this guy is better than that guy. It's not about who's better. I mean, people should just embrace they're on your team. You got them, you know?
Absolutely. You're catching this fan base at a weird time, John. We're still very passionate. I still believe that we are the best fan base on earth and love us. Also, post dynasty, you know, there's a group of this fan base who not only wants championships, expects a championship roster every single year. They feel entitled to it.
Could I ask you that?
Not at all.
Do you think, this is a question to Dubnik, do you think Brandon expects championships? he's not going like, I'm just here to get a check. Yep. No, he's here to win, and he puts it online. You don't think JK isn't here to win championships? Trace? Moses? I mean, look where they were picked, you know?
Of course.
I mean, they're speaking on the court, and it's like, I get it. I think this, the reason it's weird is because they keep talking about this two timeline and Steph. If Steph, I think Steph is so much a pillar in the community as well as in the organization. If he felt that none of these guys could help, he would say something. He would be, you know, he would like, I can't play with him, or, you know. And he feels right now what we have, you know, is good enough. and that we'll see by when we come to the trade deadline if we have to move more pieces to get somewhere, because everybody keeps saying we're guard heavy. I would just like say to the people on there, give the young guys, let them play. Let this see. You wanted them to play before. We've got we've definitely turned over a roster. I think we're better, but it goes to, all right, we were two games better than last year. And I'm my biggest fear is the way that you talk about it being a weird time. So what happens if now they were at 44 and they went to 46? And what happens if they go to 48 only? And they're a play-in tournament again. They're getting better, but they're not going to be appreciative. I think the biggest thing as a dad, since we're on my talk, that I would ask is this. They're expecting Brandon, JK, and all of the young guys that do play to take a leap. So my question would be, if Brandon averaged, 9.2 points this year, what is a leap and what's a failure? Because I think no matter what he does, the fan base might say that was a failure. I don't know why. I mean, if he's improving, but now it's not a fast improvement. So is he supposed to double that? Yep. Is he supposed to be at 18 where that's an increase of nine more points per thing? Well, then it's like you're asking someone unfair. I mean, wouldn't you then base that, if you're doing it, then you'd have to look up every player and say what they did when they first came in as a rookie, and then what did they do the next year, and how many more points did they increase?
It dovetails exactly into the weird time I'm talking about. I won't speak about the very, very, very loud minority, because those are the people who are entitled, and those are the people who don't expect development. They just expect constant titles. I mean, and that's because they started rooting about 2015, whenever it was.
Okay.
But their perception of what it means to watch a team is not our perception. I will speak for the silent majority, the people who have been watching this team forever and knows, you gotta build things. For us, you're not gonna see us on Twitter. You're not gonna see us, with angry YouTube like that. That's not gonna happen. But I can tell you, John, that you would, if you could come into our houses, you'd see us appreciating Brandon Podziemski and all of the growth. There's no question, man.
I guess I'd ask you, Brahm, or Maxine too. What is considered a good leap? And we'll start with Brandon. What's a good leap? He was at 9.2. So how many more points should he be putting up that's considered successful?
It won't be stat-based for me. It'll be where does this team go, and can he continue? The role that he went through last year, John. I mean, when he first started really playing well, I wasn't sure if it was a mirage. I didn't expect where we got him at this age to be contributing to the level that he did. Those charges drawn, what a great example. I mean, throughout the year, it started as a rookie sensation. We've never seen a rookie do this. By the end of it, he was leading the league in those charges. And it wasn't a rookie thing. He was just succeeding. If his role continues to develop in that direction, and I'm not talking about, we won't be able to look at his stats and say, okay, there's three more rebounds and two more assists. I don't know if we'll be able to objectively see that. I think it's going to be subjectively. Has he embraced this? Because you're right, now he is a very large piece of hopefully what's going to make the Warriors a championship contender again. And so if they can be successful on the floor, he's going to be judged as part of a whole, not individually, if that makes sense.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to KundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
I got one more dad question for you.
Sure.
Okay. He has been in trade rumors, like a whole bunch during the Lori Markkinen thing. What the hell is it like hearing trade rumors for your son? You know, like what? How do you experience that? That's got to be a weird thing. Because I'll tell you, they asked Brandon about it. He was on a podcast recently, and in fact, if we've got that quote here, we can play it for you. Here's Brandon talking about what it meant to him.
I think the bag can just be used as motivation. Obviously, my name's been in the marketing trade a lot. So, you know, if the trade doesn't go through and I'm still here to have a good second year and be like, good thing we didn't trade him, would be cool for me.
So for Brandon's motivational, as his dad, you hear the trade rumors, like just emotionally, man, like how does that impact you?
Okay. So this is going to probably be weird as a dad, but it is a business, and I do realize it. And some people don't understand that. And family always ask me this question. So you're not asking something I haven't already had to say a lot. And I says, this is a kind of business that you're in that if you, because they were like, look what he did. You know, he was the 19th pick, but yet he was one of the hottest guys that was voted for All-Star Weekend for the Rising Stars. I think that's done by assistant coaches that through the league, they pick who they think it is. So they must know something, they would say. And then they go, well, wait a second. He was picked first team all rookie. Well, who votes on that? And I says, I think it's something with the editors or the writers that write for sports. Well, if he got picked and all these people know that he's good, why would they want to trade him? I said, it's the only business that I know that if you're performing really good, you're valuable as a piece to be traded as well. I says, look at it this way. When you're a piece to be traded and you're the main piece, that means you're doing really good. But if you're just packaged all together with everybody and they're just going, yeah, and you get this guy, this guy, this guy, and your kid's in there too, if you're doing bad. So I says, they go, so what do you want to be? And I go, I don't. I said, what am I going to tell Brandon? Play just in the middle. Not too good that you keep on doing good, but don't suck. No, you can't do that. But so when I tell people that's what it is, and it's a business to me, I understand it. It's not frustrating. I get it. It's nothing personal. What I love is the honesty by the organization, because that's what you would want. They do it. It's funny because if you watch the movie Moneyball, that's how when Brad Pitt was playing in there and he was teaching the guy on how to, hey, you just been traded to so-and-so. You just tell them straight. That's what they want to hear as a man. They don't want to hear, hey, I hear I'm being traded. Oh, no, 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 no. We wouldn't shop you around. You know, they've been straightforward, you know? And to me, that's another cap in the feather for the Warriors. Yeah. I mean, they're not hiding it from you. They feel that there's something there. But we also know down the road that conversation might come where they say, hey, we have an opportunity to get, I don't know, name anybody, a Joel Embiid, a Giannis or something, that you could be the one that's gone on there. Yeah. It's you can't take it personal. But my son, I think, like, he looks at it the right way like I looked at it. You know that you're wanted when your team's saying, I'm going to hold on to you, mm-hmm. as well as there's people in the league that all want him. I mean, it's not only Utah that just wanted him. You know?
Good problem to have.
And so you know that you're wanted, but when you know that your team believes in you, his GM believes in him. I mean, he was the one. I mean, anybody can go look it up. What did he say that day when he was introducing, saying how the draft went and how things were good that night before we even got out there? He said he's a fighter. He's a guy that is, you know, wants to play. He's got to realize expectations as a rookie. You're probably not going to, but if somebody is going to try to buck the system and get out there and play for it, I wouldn't put it past them. No. That's paraphrasing, but that's what Mr. Dunleavy said. And look, it was exactly what he was telling the media. This is what could be happening. And it's like, we should embrace that he hit on it, especially with Trace. I mean, yeah. Oh, to start at all those games at the end of the season, like, you see him grow and everything. It's just his confidence of what, you know, he's and the confidence that he's talking about are his goals,
mm-hmm.
you know, his goals to be something. I mean, it was a great honor to see that your owner, Mr. Lakeham, saying, I see him being a future. He
All-star.
Said future, oh, yeah. Not second year all-star, okay? Yeah. He sees it, and that's what Brandon sees in himself. Everybody's like, oh, he ain't going to be an all-star. He ain't going to be. It's like, that's not what they're saying. Just listen to what they're saying. It's future.
So I'm going to transition this to a Brandon question.
Okay.
And it's one I should have already asked you, because it would have been the perfect follow-up to the one you asked us. John, what's a successful year for Brandon Pajemski look like in his second season? What will you consider a success? How are you going to, as his biggest critic, what are you looking forward as far as leaps for Brandon Pajemski?
Being in the playoffs with a 7-game series. Huh. Nothing else will matter. I don't care if my son is averaging, instead of 9.2, 9.1. If we're in there, that means he's doing what he's supposed to as a team. You know, I don't look at him as a starter. I don't look at him as a bench player. I look at him as a basketball player, period. And if he does his job and works with the team, and not that we have, you know, we work together, not individuals, not the old guys, the young guys, mm-hmm. not JK or Brandon, and we all work as a team, just like the military does as a unit, that's what I expect of him. Is to be in the playoffs for a 7-game series.
If we had him on the show and asked him the same question, do you think he'd give us the same answer?
That's a good question. He would always put the team first.
Yep.
That I never, because that's just bred into him that, hey, my team's got to be successful, but he's not going to kid you. He has team goals. And then he has also on there his, you know, individual where he'd like to see himself, but it's always, he knows if I do everything and give everything for the team, all the other stuff will work out. Just like the charges. He didn't say, hey, you know what? I want to be the best in the NBA with 38 charges that he had for the year. No, it was, what does the team need for us to win that game? And really, it's 38 times he gave the team the ball possession. He put his body on so we would get the possession from them. Yep. Like, look what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's what he's doing. It's the team first. He's telling, you know, everybody, like I said, they keep thinking that it's this. He is the guy who will give his shirt off his back, you know, for everything that has to be done. And he, what you call it, like I said, I think his confidence, it's not arrogance. And I'm, as people are finding out, because I see that there is that big group of people that go, no, he's just confident. And that's what I want to see, you know, in a guy. And, but it's always team first. He would undoubtedly, yeah, he would definitely say team first.
Those confidence critiques will go away, John, by the end of next year. That's, I can almost promise you that. His talent will be the focus, not his personality. And I'm very confident that that person will go. One of the things that stuck out, and we've kind of alluded to it, is work ethic. And I'll give you another example. He was on the select team this summer, you know, and so out he goes. We read about it. What great experience. They finished practicing against the U.S. men's team. If anybody on earth now has justification to call it a summer, take a couple months off, it'd be the guys who are playing on that select team. It's not what he does. We see him the next day in Vegas playing with the Warriors team in the summer league, in a league that he's played himself out of. You know, he doesn't need to be a part of the summer league anymore. And so the thing that struck to me is that's work ethic. That's the guy who's, you know, still in the gym. You know, that's why the janitor saw that. And so we know he's been showing it the whole way. Mm-hmm. Where'd it come from? Is that the military school? Is that something you guys stressed? Is that just personality? You know, why is he such a hard worker?
It's just been in him to, like, I think because he's always been an underdog and he's always had that chip on his shoulder. So, like, always he has that in his mindset. If I'm not working, there's somebody else that is. And I don't want to be made a fool of. He's representing a global, and sometimes people forget this, a global, you know, organization. And the last thing he wants to do is make a fool of himself and especially the organization that he plays for. And that's the same thing, which I guess you, when you'd piggyback that, it would be the military. When he gives back to his school, and he don't want to be made a fool. You know, he came from here. People at St. John's, when they come in there on their page, when it comes to the athletic part, they're showing like, look, there's all kinds of things you can do besides in the military, go to West Point. You can come out of here and you can be an NBA person.
Yeah.
He doesn't take that lightly, that responsibility. And he's going to give, like I said, it's so hard to, it's like you, like, it goes back to what I just said of like being in a glass box and you like you're banging and you're like, just sit back and relax and just watch, is he going to have games that he's not going to do good? Absolutely. But it's going to be, you can't say that it wasn't a 100% effort. Yeah, he ain't going to just be like, I missed three threes. Guess what? I ain't defending. I'm not going to take no charge. No, if something shooters have off nights, the greatest will tell you that, you know, and you hear them talk about it all the time that if you just go and you say, Ray Allen, you know, any of those guys, they'll tell you that there's just off nights that just don't happen.
John, Steph Curry. Steph Curry couldn't hit a shot until Serbia. You know, he missed every shot he took in the Olympics until he didn't.
You know,
it happens.
I want to give you a little tidbit. I think it came out when I think he mentioned it to somebody on there. But if they didn't, when he was at the USA team thing and he got to be with Cooper Flagg and everything, I know that a couple things that came out, they were like, how is this 19th pick and this 17-year-old that's going to Duke, you know, hanging with, you know, the guys that were supposed to go? And we, you know, and I was just like, because, well, and then I think the footage came out where he like stripped the ball, dove on the ground and kicked it to Trace Jackson. And then they ran down the court and I think Trace put it off the backboard. So someone, I think it might've been Chris Murray or somebody could dunk, you know, but it was just like he had said to me after that, he was like, Dad, he's like, I feel so much in the zone. He says, I felt it just like my junior year of high school going to senior year, where you could see that. He's like, that, he was like, I'm there. Like, it's, I, you know, and I just said, oh boy, this is crazy.
Maxime, take us backwards. So to no one's surprise, John is far healthier than me, probably far healthier than us. You know how I would respond if my kid was in trade rumors. I'd hate everybody involved. Would you, for you, your son's in trade rumors, would it bother you, Maxime? Would you be okay? Would you take the he's wanted view? Because John's right. I mean, he's, you know, he's not off. He's decided to be positive about it. I would be like dark and ugly about it. Where would you land on this spectrum?
Well, look, my child is the youngest of the three children that we're talking about on this call. So I'm soaking it in. I'm learning all the wisdom. I think I would have changed my answer as a result of hearing John talk here. So I'm trying to learn and evolve, but also I'm a Warriors fan, right? So it's like, it's one thing if he's in trade rumors and he's like on the Jazz and the rumors are to Golden State, for example, but it would be hard for me to, knowing that he's playing alongside Steph Curry, this is such a, like, as you said, he's such a perfect fit for this organization. This organization really does see him as somebody who's going to continue to bear fruit over the course of many years, hopefully here. And then now you're hearing all these rumors of all these other teams that covet him as an incredible piece for their franchises potentially in the future. So it would be hard for me as a Golden State fan, knowing that he would be leaving Golden State. I think that's what would make it complicated.
And could I just ask you then a follow-up to that?
Please, of course.
What would you feel if they had traded Brandon to Utah and you guys got marketing? And let's try to see just a hypothetical. How about, and Danny Ainge didn't want him, and he traded him off to another team, San Antonio Spurs. How would you guys, how would those people feel like now he's with Wimby? Wait a second. Wasn't he with Wimby at the, you know, game for Rising Stars? You know, wasn't he like, you know, like what those two could have been? Like, would that be more regret then? Or would it be okay if he just went to the Jazz and he wasn't traded, or he went to Miami?
If you're asking me,
yeah,
how would I feel if after Brandon got traded, he had success on another team? How would I feel about it?
Right. John, because a lot of people think like, okay, he was just going to Jazz. Well, what happens if, you know, this business, and they always say Danny Ainge is looking for something else. What if it would have went another, that wasn't his stop.
I wouldn't have wanted that at all. Okay. I wouldn't like the idea that we're going to see it, because in the Jazz, there's a chance he disappears and our nose is not going to be rubbed in his success. You know, like if Brandon's career continues to go that it probably does, and we fast forward 2-3 years and the Warriors, you know, championship window is totally closed, and now we're watching Brandon Podziemski really take off, you know, would I like that to happen in a place like San Antonio where I have to watch it all the time, or a place like Utah where I can be vaguely unaware of it? Utah, 1,000 times. Utah. I don't want that. That sounds like a nightmare. Like, of course we don't want to see that.
Right. And that's the business that we're in. It's like nothing is ever guaranteed that it's just one trade. You see how many times they say a 3-team trade. Well, it comes out. True. So that's why they always say people always got to be careful what they wish for and say, yeah, we could have gotten. And it's like, whoa, whoa, wait a second. He went where? I thought he was only supposed to go here or something. You never know. And that's why, like, as a father, I try to say it's a business. And it, as long as they're straightforward, which the organization has been with us, I mean, that's all you can ask for. You can only bet on yourself. Do every day, go out there and put, you know, your boots on. Go do what you got to do for the day, you know, and then work harder afterwards to get even better. And that's all you can do. And it, you know, if you always give 110%, people notice and they see what's going to happen, you know, from there. But if, you know, you can't control, you can only control what you can control. And that's continue to stay with your grounded, a work ethic and a gym rat. And that's what he is.
Last three questions.
Sure.
Something that you were in particularly proud of from his rookie year.
Ooh, definitely. I'm going to say Rising Stars when he got selected for Rising Stars, only because I guess this is true, that it's done by assistant coaches. Uh-huh. That's what I've heard. I don't know. I never Googled it or anything. So when I just heard it, I've just always taken it as face value. I thought that meant a lot because that means other teams are looking at him and they only picked 11 guys that came that were rookies. So it was like, it was a thing that he was picked 19th. There was somebody had put out there, I'm sure that you might've seen. He was the 19th pick. He was one of 11 picked for the Rising Stars and ends up being the top five for first team all rookie. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately I'm not, you know, begging on any writers or anything that I'm more grateful. You know, he got first team, we're blessed. But I think just to know that, because then you're being judged by other coaches that look at you and they're like, yeah, that dude's the real deal. He's there. And so, like I said, I guess maybe that's why they were able to say there was, his name came up a lot in trades. Like, hey, that dude, you're going to give that guy up? You want to give that guy up, you know, that they wanted to use? So, you know, to me, that was probably the best. I definitely would say that when he got that.
Other side of the coin, something sure. that genuinely frustrated you from his rookie.
100% is free throws. I don't even need to think about it. It was his free throws. He's doing great right now. Like, I've been watching his free throws, and it, like, when he just got that little bit of summer league that I got to see it in the one in California Classic, I was ecstatic there. But yeah, hands down, free throws.
Last question. Sure. Let's say Steve Kerr gives you a call and is like, John, I love your son, the limitless potential, but I'm not positive how we should use him next year. I don't know. I don't know what his role should be. And John, you've known him, you've watched him play your whole life. What should we do? What would you tell him? What's your suggestion?
Ooh. First, I know the only reason why I don't think he would ever ask us that, because he knows I'm a baseball fanatic. So he'd be like, if that ever got out, he'd be like, what? You asked the dude who loves baseball? How does it go? So that's why I say that would never happen. But I would tell him you can count on him that in crunch time. And I think I don't even have to say that, because if you watch the development of Brandon this year, mm-hmm. they're grooming him to do stuff like that. Why is there highlights out there on YouTube right now of his top 10 buzzer beaters? Why mm-hmm. are they putting the ball in his hand with, we're not talking just a shot clock. We're talking about, hey, we're drawing up a play before halftime. It's going to Brandon and Brandon's going to, why do you think they're doing that? They're trying to get him, you know, comfortable with Steph, that it could be Steph for him. You know, that take it. Will he take it? Well, let's see. We've tried. They've tried a couple times, right? The famous layup that he missed, you know, all right? And right. they knew it wasn't ready like that. Okay, he can't have it right now. But then you see that they've been building it where they're like, okay, we're putting him in. When Steph makes that great shot where Brandon inbounds the ball, where the only spot he can put it is over close to the line, enough as it's, you can see it from ground level, it's in the right spot. From the level that we watched it on TV, it was like, no, but it was perfect. And he turns, he's all right. He's putting them in on those. Why is he inbounding the ball? Because they're trusting, like they're showing their development. You know, I want to just say something real quick too, is when it comes to the NBA, it's funny. It's full circle of different things. And it's been so great because the fan base is just overall, it's a joyous when we're in town. Everybody's really respectable. People on, for the most part of social media are always like reaching out. And they're just kind of telling you, don't worry about what they're saying. And I'm like, no worries. Like, you know, I DM you back. I say, hey, no worries. You know, we understand. We have faith in God. You wouldn't put him in a position that he couldn't handle. So, you know, I say to all Dub Nation, don't worry. And the ones that feel negative, just come and join us. We're not going to go like, no, you talked crap before, so we're not going to accept you. That's not how you do it. And so to us, it was just like, you know, it's going to be a fun-filled year. Are we going to have ups and downs? Absolutely. You know, every team does. No team comes in. I mean, I know everybody's expecting us to, like, rifle off, like, what, be a 17-4 team or whatever it was that they start out the season. Yeah. But I think that, you know, Steph believes in the team. Draymond absolutely believes in the team of where we are. And our, you know, so is our coaching staff, which now I'm even glad about our two assistant coaches that were just added. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is by having Jerry Stackhouse, that was one of the teams of his final five that he was going to pick to go to college. It was between Vanderbilt, Wake Forest, Miami, Kentucky, and Illinois. Huh. And Jerry Stackhouse, he just a great man. That was my second choice where I wanted him to go because he was honest up front. He was going to tell you if you were going to get to the NBA. I don't, you know, he was putting his name on it when he said to somebody, if a scout came in and said, what do you think of him? He told us, he says, I go in there and I battle against these guys. And if I feel you're soft, I'm not going to put my name on the line and go, yeah, he's good. No, I'm going to tell you he needs work. He's a project. He ain't this. And so now to have him, it's like it's come full circle. So I was like, Brandon had talked to him and said, yeah, you got me, coach. You got
meant to be. Yeah, it was meant to be. Full circle.
Yeah.
John, we did it. We had a high bar. I think we got over it, man. I think, you know, we've set the bar even higher for the third conversation. And you know what I think it was that put us over? I'm not sure if you were the reigning golf champion when we had the first conversation. And
I did. No, I wasn't.
Yeah, there you go. It's the Brimming confidence. You can tell it's Machado. I cannot thank you enough, man. I think I promised like 25 minutes. Here we are an hour in. Really appreciate your time. Loved doing this. Hope we can get you back in here at some point, man. That was a lot of fun.
Hey, I appreciate everybody and especially you, Brom, for reaching out on there to do this again. You know, Maxine for, you know, getting everything set. And just Dub Nation. I mean, look, like I said, sit back, relax. I guess that was the big phrase from Aaron Rodgers when we had him in Green Bay. Just relax. Let it start. Let it play. Let them work together. Yes, they're young. But this, I really think that we're going to do good. Are we going to miss like Clay? Absolutely. Clay was great. Are we going to miss Chris Paul? Tremendous mentor for Brandon. Hmm. I mean, all these guys, you know, to even stay in contact with my son, he's, you know, shows that, you know, they mean something to him and he means something to them, you know, and I mean, we're blessed. We truly are, you know, having, you know, people that want to reach out to us and find out like little things, but not I gotcha or this or whatever. And I, you know, I look forward to the season. I hope everybody's excited, you know, as I am and stuff. And we take that next step.
It's going to be a big year. It's going to be a big year. Hopefully, you want to get us a question. Let us know we did a good job, bad job, any job with John. Make any suggestions on maybe how Maxime and I could be better dads. Like, I mean, whatever. Whatever you want to throw us to. You can shoot us an email. You can shoot that email too.
Huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
On a bunch of social media sites. As you know, we're focusing on YouTube. Help us. Get on YouTube. Help us. And watch a couple of videos there. With that in mind, go Warriors. Hopefully, see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Good.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect, Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for Black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.